Thank you, David. Good morning. It is truly an honor to stand up in front of you this morning and have this opportunity to spend with each of you. I am, Michelle and I were talking earlier, and Dan had texted me and asked me if I would preach this morning, and to be totally honest, it didn't hit me that it was Easter Sunday morning. And Michelle and I were talking the other day, and I had been kind of preparing some thoughts in my mind, and Michelle had made a comment, and I knew it was Easter Sunday, I guess, but I hadn't thought about that much. And so I don't know that my sermon, and I don't know that I've ever been, as I've had the opportunity to stand and preach on holidays like an Easter or like a Christmas morning, I don't know that I've always been just the most traditional sermon, but I do feel that I have a message. I know Milo in his prayer earlier had really made a comment in his prayer to the asking the Lord for that, you know, for that message that we've been given today. So I will apologize, maybe not the most traditional Easter story, but I do want to spark some thoughts in our minds and kind of spark some desires, I guess. I do want to start with a remembrance of the Easter story. And so if you listen to the songs that were here, and I appreciated each one of the specials this morning, as each one of those songs and in as the songs progressed, you know, they were each had a strong message. I especially appreciated our young people this last song. That's one of those songs that I think I'm going to be humming all day long. You know, it's in my mind, and I appreciated their voices and for the talents that's been given there. But I want to start with the Easter story. And if you think about when we think of the Easter story, what do we think of? I like interaction, so it's not a bad thing to react when someone asks a question from up front. So what do we think of when we think of the Easter story? The resurrection, he arose, absolutely. What else? The sacrifice, absolutely. I know for me, when I think of the Easter story, I think of the resurrection. And that's typically the story that resonates in my mind as I think about that. But you really go back, and I would say there's probably four key parts, and there's a lot of things within the Easter story, but you know, I think probably if you think about the Easter story, at least if I were to really, as I slow down and really start to think about, you know, it's four key points. The first part being the Last Supper, right? What was the Last Supper? But it's really summed up in my mind this invitation from Jesus, right? The example that was set. If you go back and read the Easter story and you go back and read about the Last Supper, what happens within the Last Supper? What's going on there? There's a couple key points. You don't get to come to church and not interact. You have to think and you have to react a little bit. But what happens in the Last Supper? Betrayal, right? The beginning of the betrayal and the understanding Christ references the betrayal that's going to happen. What else does he do? He washed their feet, right? And that's the one that, as I was going back and looking, I've known that. Right? We've all known that story, but we go back and truly, you know, to me, it is that example that Christ set. Second part of the Easter story is the betrayal. Right? What happened in the betrayal? Judas sold Christ for money, right? He betrayed Christ. And there was a point, and it talks about, you know, I read something that just was so blatantly obvious, but really stood to me is, and it was kind of that, I don't know, that, well, yeah, kind of that thought. And it said, it talked about how Jesus allowed this to happen. It was God's plan, right? And that's a common thread that I want to touch on, you know, that God's plan. Then the third piece of the Easter story is the crucifixion of Jesus, right? Simply known as the sinless life of Jesus was lived and given so that man could receive salvation and eternal life. An awesome example that so many stories, and if you were to go back and recap multiple sermons over the years, you know, that example of the crucifixion, the example of Christ hanging on the cross, the example of Christ hanging on the cross and the two men that are beside him, the example that is set all the way throughout. And then finally, the resurrection. You know, for me, the resurrection is probably the story I think about the most when I think about Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen today. It was God's plan. Christ lives. Christ was alive yesterday. He's alive today. He'll be alive tomorrow. He lives in our lives, and there's so many examples that we've seen. I want to ask you a question, you know, I've heard this used a lot of times in different thoughts, and I've heard it a couple different ways. Either there are 7 degrees of separation, or there's 6 degrees of separation, but they both kind of mean the same. Does anybody know what that means when I say 6 degrees of separation? There is 6 degrees of separation amongst us. Anybody know what that means? That you're included in that, right? But go a little bit further. What does that mean with 6 degrees of separation? And the point is, there's 6 degrees of separation between me and almost everyone out in the world, right? And what they would say is that because of social media, I really think, I've always heard it as 7 degrees of separation. Somebody's going to have to correct me. But I was reading, and it talks about 6 degrees of separation. And ultimately, the idea is that you know, if Milo and I were to sit down and we start talking about common people between us or people we know and those connections that we have, you know, in the Church of Christ, there is this extended family that we have no matter where we go, right? And while I can look out in this room and I'm related to a whole bunch of people in this room, but also, right, it is the idea of, you know, within the Church of Christ, we have this pretty safe bubble. A bubble of people that we know, that we love, that we have a connection with, that we either grew up around or we've gotten to know through the years. This 6 degrees of separation is then this connection that we have to people outside of these walls. Right, and I go back to the example, you know, the 4 steps or the 4 portions of the Easter story, right? There was a plan that God had. And throughout every one of those steps was that connection and that example that was set. And so I want to carry that in my comments today is really this separation that we have. There is little to no degrees of separation amongst each one of us in this room. I think I know most everybody here, almost. And who I don't know, we could make a connection really quickly because I'm related to you, or I know you through marriage, or I know you as just a person that I've come and I've worshiped at church with. You know, today is an awesome day because there's a lot of people here. And it's neat to look out and see. But you know, what I want to talk about and I want to get us thinking about is that separation that we have, that woven connections that we have throughout this world and this opportunity that we have that the Lord is opening up for us. I feel really strongly, you know, as we think about the example that's set for us in the Easter story, it was God's plan. Right? It could have stopped. He could have stopped it, and he could have said, you know, this that's happening, I'm just going to tell you my story. I'm going to tell you my message. But he lived it, and he had an example for us. Turn with me to Matthew, the 20th chapter. I cheated, and I put all my notes and all the scriptures on my sheet, so if I go too fast, you can catch up, right? But Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 28th verse. I'm going to read the 28th, and then we're going to stay there and read through the 31st. But just starting at the 28th verse, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life ransom for many. What is our purpose on this earth? Again, not a trick question, right? When I ask a question, usually I encourage you to share an answer, right? What is our purpose on earth? To prepare to meet God. Absolutely. Is that, Becky, God's plan? Absolutely. right? And we see this plan, right? And Christ, when he came on earth, he was born, he lived a life, and truly it says, Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life ransom for many. Continuing on at the 29th through the 31st, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Right, and the point that I'm going to try to drive at and ultimately cut to the chase and where I'm trying to go. You know, I felt this strongly as we went through conference this last few weeks ago. I thought there were some really good sermons, and there were some very common themes that I saw throughout. And I had the opportunity to preach in Michigan last week, and the message that I felt led to share there, and really a message that I feel led to continue to share this morning is this connection that we have with the people in the world, right? I think about this a lot, and I think about, again, you know, I made the comment earlier, this bubble that we live in. Life's pretty safe in this bubble, right? We have a lot of comfort. We have a lot of strength. You know, it's awesome. You know, an example, Michelle and I were needing to, you know, we had movers come and move our stuff to Michigan. Then we needed some more things to go, and Michelle and I were thinking, hey, there's people from Michigan coming down here. How awesome is it? I could ask Sue Porter just to take some stuff back for me. Right? How great is that connection? There's safety in that bubble. There's safety in the idea that, you know, how crazy is it to think that, and most people in the world don't understand that connection that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. But what comes with that safety in the bubble also comes a fear and concern of what is outside of that bubble. What faces us outside of that bubble? What faces us is that connection with others, right? What faces us is that example that we set with others around us. What faces us is, and in my mind is, with this Easter message, this opportunity that we have, Christ lived for a purpose. Who was he reaching out to? Who was he connecting with? And I think that same thing comes to us today, is that message of how are we connecting with others in our lives? Don't get me wrong, I'm not standing up here and saying that we're bad people and that we're not doing, you know, a responsibility that we have. But my words are today is that encouragement that we have of how we continue to engage and connect with others. I'll give a real life example in my own boys' lives. Both of my boys, so Trenton now married, Braden, you know, with a girlfriend that he's had for a while. Both girls grew up in a different church. You know, that part of how we, you know, for me, I always knew I would be here one day, right? I married the woman that I love. I married a girl that I grew up with in church. Knowing where Michelle and I were going to go to church was really simple, right? But, you know, if I go back one generation, my mother-in-law didn't know which church. She was in a completely different church. And she had that experience, and she had that draw. And my father-in-law had enough self-determination that he was going to pack his girls up in the car, and he was going to take them to church. Now, I know God has a plan. Even for my own boys, God has a plan. And I'm thankful that my father-in-law met my mother-in-law, and that he challenged her. Now, recognize, I'm not standing up here and saying, you know, parents, encourage your kids to go marry outside of the church. That would be foolish, right? My prayer is that God leaves our children to godly women that encourages, right? But the thought and the thing that just continues to resonate in my mind today, Christ wasn't only reaching out to the Church of Christ. He's reaching out to those around us. Turn with me to John, the 10th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. And this is Christ speaking, 10 through 18. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf and coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment I received of my Father. You know, in this verse and in this, you know, this example. So in John 10, it's before, you know, the crucifixion. It's before the Easter story that is to happen. It is before these things that are unfold. But the example that is set is Christ as that shepherd, right? That shepherd. And you know, I'll tell you what started the thought in my mind as I was preparing for the sermon was Psalms 23. Right, a scripture that we all know, we've read it many times, we've heard it read, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So, you know, if you go back and if you study and you start to read about Psalms 23 and everything that's going on in David's life at this time, you know, he's tending to the flock and recognize, you know, that message that he's saying, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. David, if you can believe any of the commentaries, man, that's awesome. Thank you. See, that's one degree of separation, Kevin, my cousin. Oh, there's a box down below. Thank you. 2 degrees of separation with Sean here. Thank you. You know, this idea is, this Lord is my shepherd. And the point that I want to try to reinforce of us to us is this, as the shepherd, so do we have this example that was set by Christ. So do we have this responsibility as shepherds of lives around us, of how we encourage others, of how we connect with others, how we engage with others and encourage others and bring others into the fold. How many of you have a pet? Say it another way. How many of you have a pet that you can say that you love? Right? So I have a pet I never thought I would love. I've never been a pet guy. It's crazy. When I come home, I'm kind of excited to see my pet. Michelle's pet, but I claim him too. Right, and you think about, you know, that if you've been away for a while and you come home and that pet is excited to see you, you know, what is that feeling? What is that experience? You know, you think about that experience and that example in our lives, you know, and the same thing that I think the Lord is calling out to us, you know, is that excitement that we see as we engage with others and as we connect with others. I read earlier, and I want to reinforce it again, John 10, and just the 11th and then the 14th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Right? I think that example resonates in our minds and resonates in my heart today, is that we are called to be shepherds. We are called, that example that's been set and how we connect with others and how we engage, And continuing, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, it was encouraging to me as I think about, you know, at conference this year, I don't know if everybody completely understood it or really appreciated it, but, you know, for the first time we had members from outside of the U.S. that were a part of the conference meeting. Pretty neat thing. And pretty awesome when to think, you know, is so last week when I was in Michigan and I was talking about, you know, I don't look at this in a negative way, but I made a comment to the dwindling numbers within the church. And someone reminded me afterwards is while maybe right around us there may be some dwindling numbers, the growth in the church has not stopped. Right? And we witnessed that, the opportunity through technology, you know, the brothers and sisters in the Philippines that were connected on and were involved in the service or in the meetings that we had. Whether they were close, Trevor was close, right? And he was online and he ran up for a portion of the meeting, or were a long ways away, hours and days of flights and travel time to get away. The Lord is connecting us. Right? The Lord is bringing us in, and that encouragement for each of us on this Easter day, my encouragement for each of us is that opportunity that we have to continue to connect with those around us. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read 25 through 35. 3 Nephi 12, starting at the 25th verse. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father. To stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which the Father, which hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. Right? That key point, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. You know, just boil this down to this point of, you know, the responsibility that we have. The example has been set. Christ has set the example, right? Of any day, you know, in this time that we have in this Easter season, this opportunity of remembrance of the example that was set by Christ, right? Christ is living, is risen. He lives today. He lives tomorrow. He lives in our lives. You know, and that encouraging part for each of us is how we continue to connect with those around us. I started a new job recently, and part of this job, you know, anytime you've started a new job, there's always this portion of, you know, how do I remember this, right? And I got to remember to take care of this, and I got to remember to do this, until it gets to that point where it just gets simple and it just becomes, you know, second nature. And I think so many times in our spiritual walk, you know, we look to those around us. You know, my encouragement for each of us is, you know, don't lose sight of how we connect with others. Send a text, send a letter, call somebody. It's all of our responsibilities. It's all of our time. Think about those loved ones that we have, that we know that may be struggling with a challenge in their life. I challenge you to think of those that aren't here. You know, I would encourage you, send a text to my boys. Encourage them in their walk. Encourage them in their lives. I know many of you do that today. But my encouragement is, we think about that example that's been set. This responsibility is on each of us. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as brothers and sisters that are within this bubble, of how we continue to connect with those outside of this bubble. My prayers are with each of you today, and I would ask for an interest in your prayers as well. Thank you.